We are 16 lines up from the bottom on Ches Omer Aleph. We're going to begin with a statement from Rav Masna, which has to do directly with our Mishnah. The previous Gemara was a bit of a tangent explaining two of the holidays and how it's connected to Adma Rishon. Here, we focus on what the Mishnah statement that there are certain holidays which you can't do business with the Romans, not only on the holiday, but even 3 days prior to. And the question that Rav Masna is going to get at is, well, what if the Romans expand their territory into an area that doesn't observe these holidays, but they're still under Roman rule? So are you allowed to do business with these people during the holiday and 3 days before or not? So Amar Rav Masna, Romi she'asa kalenda. So not only that Rome observes Kalenda, but you have all the other cities nearby which are subservient to Rome. And according to Rashi, as I just mentioned, they don't observe Kalenda at all, but they just happen to be under Roman rule. Osan Ayaros Asuros Omutaros. Are you allowed to do business with those cities or not? Rav Yishuv ben Levi Amar Kalenda Asura Lakolhi. That Kalenda is prohibited to all. In other words, since it's under Roman rule, even if they themselves do not observe Kalenda, it's prohibited to do business. You never know, they may end up getting an animal from a Jew, and they might somehow be convinced to bring it over to their gods as a sacrifice. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Asura Ela Le'Ovdei Bilvad. No, the prohibition is only to the worshippers. If you're not a worshipper of Kalenda, then you're allowed to do business. And the way Rashi understands it is B'nei Romi. So that almost sounds like even if you have a non-religious pagan who is a Roman, you would still be prohibited to do business with them. It's someone that's not considered from Rome. So if Rome is a client kingdom of a certain nation, then we can assume they're not B'nei Romi, they just happen to be under Roman rule. Anyhow, the Gemara tells us, Tana Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan, we have a brisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan, that there's no prohibition, that the only prohibition to do business with Romans are only the Ovdeh, only B'nei Romi, not the neighboring cities. Based on the following statement, Afal pi she'amru Romi she'asa Romi asa kalenda v'chol hayaros ha'smuchos la mishtaptos la hi atzma eina asura ela le'ovdei bilvad. The Braisa states explicitly that the neighboring cities are only prohibited to those who are B'nai Romi. If you're not B'nai Romi, you're not observing Kalenda, no problem. And then the Braisa continues and says, Satanalia kartasim v'yom gnus yishal malcheyem v'yom she humlach bo melech lefanav aser acharav mutter. That these holidays, there's a prohibition before the holidays, their prohibition does not take place after the holidays. V'ovid kochavim she'asa mishta livno ein aser el osa yom v'osa ish. And in addition, an idolater who makes a wedding for his son, the prohibition is only on that day and only for that person to do business with. So that is the Braisa. Nevertheless, we see according that this Braisa is in accordance with Reb Yochanan. Now the Gemara continues. Rav Ashi says we can even find support for Rabbi Yochanan's position from our Mishnah. Amar Rav Ashi, Af Anan Nami Tanina, Diktani, Yom Tiglachas Zikno, Ubuloriso, V'yom She'ala Bo Min Hayam, V'yom She'yatza Bo Min Beis Hasurim, Ein Aser, Ela Oso Hayom Bilvar, Ve'oso Ish. Our Mishnah said that among other things, on private celebrations, the prohibition is only on that day and that person. It seems superfluous to say only that day and that person. Bishlama oso hayom. I understand why the Mishnah needed to say it's only prohibited on that day, lafuki lefanavu l'acharav, so that you shouldn't think that there's a prohibition before the holiday, the private holiday, and after the holiday. Ela oso ha'ish lafuki amai. Why does the Mishnah mention and only that person? Who is it coming to exclude? Obviously, it's that person. It's a private celebration. Gemara says, my love lafuki mishabodav. Doesn't that mean that the subordinates of this person throwing the party, you would think would be included, and therefore said, oh, so Ish, it's only that person who's throwing the party. Those who are his underlings would not be under the prohibition of doing business with, and therefore you can extend that to our larger case that when it comes to communal celebrations, then it's only the Bnei Romi who would be, who a person would be, a Jew would be prohibited to do business with on the Yom Eid and 3 days beforehand, but other areas which they expanded their borders who are not Bnei Romi, they would not be included in that prohibition. And the Gemara continues in a slightly different angle. Tanya Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael makes the following statement. Yisroel shebechutz la'aretz ovdei avodas kochavim b'tarehen. The Jews in the diaspora, they end up serving idols out of their innocence. As Rashi says, the last line, kolomar, below kavana, vein samim alev. They don't even realize what they're doing, but they're serving idols. Now, is it what they're doing, a biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? That's a dispute. But we have to actually see what it is that they're doing wrong. Ketzad, how is this so? How can you tell me that the Jews in the diaspora are serving idols? Ovid kochavim, she'asa mishteh livno, an idolater who makes a wedding for his son, v'zimein kol ha'yehudim shebe'iro, and he invites all of the Jews in the city to attend. Af al pi she'ochlin mishelehen, even though they're only eating their own galat kosher food, v'shosin mishelehen, they're only drinking kosher drinks, v'shamash aleihem omeid lifnehem, and they're also hired their own private mashkiach so that none of the kosher and non-kosher will get mixed up. Nevertheless, male aleihem akasuv ki'ilu achlu mizivchei mesim. The Torah it's ascribed to them as if they've eaten from zivchei mesim. Shenemar v'karolacha v'achalta mizivcho. He will invite you, and you will eat from their sacrifices. That is a sounds like a biblical prohibition, but some say this is only a rabbinic prohibition to be at this wedding made by an idolater. Now, by the way, we are going to discuss on the Digging Deeper episode whether there is a prohibition nowadays to attend a non-Jewish wedding of a relative or of an associate or a friend. That's something we will see. But here it sounds very clear that there's some sort of prohibition, whether it's a biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition, to attend. It's certainly applicable in Talmudic times. Now the Gemara says, "V'ema ad achil." Maybe the prohibition is only for eating. As long as you don't eat, all you do is show up, maybe that should be fine. Amar Rava, im kein neima krave achalta mizivcho. Then the Torah should have just said, you will eat. Mai v'karalacha, why does it say he will invite you and you will eat? Mishas kriya. It sounds like that from the beginning, once you receive the invitation, if you send back the RSVP that you're coming, you are already in violation of achalta mizivcho, that you're eating. Even if you don't actually eat because you said you're going, that is the violation, biblical or rabbinic, is again a debate. Hilchach, therefore, says the Gemara, Kol plasin yomin, bein amrle machmas hilula, ubein lo amrle machmas hilula, aser. 30 days following that wedding, if he invites you over to his home for a meal or for a banquet, for a party, you can't go. Whether he tells you he's making a special sheva brachas, or he just says, I'm having a party, you can't attend because you have to assume that the party is done in honor of the wedding. Mikan ve'elach, after 30 days, i amrle machmas hilula aser, v'ilo amrle machmas hilula shari. After 30 days, if he says he's throwing a party in honor of the wedding, you still can't attend. If he's just throwing a general party, then you can be there as well. Then you are allowed to be there. Well, if he says he's throwing a party in honor of his son who got married, maybe he could do this 5 years later. He's throwing a party, and that would that be prohibited? Is there a limit Amar Papa a Treisa Yerchei Shasa. For a full year after the wedding, if he makes it was customary to make parties throughout the year in celebration of the union. Therefore, you cannot attend if he explicitly says after 30 days that this party is in honor or in celebration of the marriage. Umei kara me'ema sasser. And what about before the wedding? Once we've already established that getting the invitation and accepting is a problem, it almost sounds like there may be a prohibition to even participate and go over their home before the wedding, right? They're engaged, they're getting ready, so there's some sort of simcha there as well. So when does that prohibition begin? Amar Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Michiramu Shari Beasinti. Rashi gives two explanations what that means. The first explanation is once he puts the barley into the vat to make beer. Tosfos says it doesn't make sense. They didn't make beer from barley in those days. But anyhow, the second approach that Rashi gives is when they planted the barley in order for it to the seeds in order to sprout, so they can throw it or use the barley to celebrate and say Pru Revu, you should sprout just like barley, and they would throw it at the wedding. Continues the Gemara, Ulabasar Tresa Yarchi Shasa Shari. Do you mean to tell me that after 12 months, if the idolater says he's throwing a party in honor of the bride and groom, you're allowed to attend the wedding? He went over to a fellow's home a full year after their wedding. He heard the Balabas whispering or mentioning Odi and giving thanks about the marriage. So he stopped eating. He said, "Oh my goodness, this sounds like we're having a celebration for the wedding." So Gemara says, "No, Shani Rav Yitzchak Brei de Rav Misharashi at Adam Chashifu." Now Rav Yitzchak was an Adam Chashuv; he was a special person. He didn't attend the wedding, and therefore says Rashi, "V'samach mimenu ha'ovid kachavim od." He was so happy that he was at the house now that he associated it with the wedding, and that's why he didn't eat. Because he was there, so he couldn't leave anymore, maybe because of Eva, but he just didn't eat in order that he wouldn't be under a worse prohibition. But nevertheless, just to wrap up over here, the Gemara started out talking about whether there's a prohibition of whether the prohibition of doing business with an idolater or a community of idolaters includes the surrounding communities, the neighboring communities which don't observe the rituals, even though they're under the Roman rule or other idolaters' rule, and we follow like Rabbi Yochanan that they're not obligate. They're not under the same restrictions. You are allowed to do business with them. And then from that, we went on to a discussion about attending a wedding of an idolater and how long that prohibition of well, not only is there a prohibition to attend the wedding of an idolater, that even extends to a time before the wedding and after the wedding as well.